Welcome to another episode of the Be Successful series. Before we get into the show, I just wanted to remind you, if you're an entrepreneur, to head over to dreambizcoaching.co. That's dreambizcoaching.co. So at Dream Biz Coaching, you can join our free community, world-changing entrepreneurs, to share ideas, network, and have fun with your peers, all while being free of the distractions on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, all of it. If you would like to support the work going on to create this content, courses, and interviews for you, become a member. We have three levels you can choose from. Our patron gets access to the uncensored portion of our podcasts, content not seen anywhere else on the internet, like funnel reviews, website hot takes, and what I think about the entrepreneurship world at this moment. You'll also get a 10% discount off any current and future courses released on the platform. Our partner gets everything in Patreon. Also, you get to view recordings of the group coaching sessions. You get 25% discount off of any course, and you get access to the group coaching community. Our highest level, our VIPs, well, they get everything. Everything the patrons and the partners do, it unlocks all of the courses. Yes, that's right. You pay $0 for the courses at this level. You also get to participate, if you so choose, in a quarterly roundtable meeting in order to discuss the development of the platform. You get to help build what you want to see. So head over to dreambizcoaching.co and become a member today. We would be honored to have you there. All right, so we are up and going. How are you doing today, Faye?
I'm great, Brian. And thank you so much for inviting me onto your podcast. It's really a pleasure.
Well, it's my pleasure to have you. It's really a pleasure for me because I'm actually getting into this world of public speaking. So to be able to talk to somebody who's been doing it for, how many years have you been doing it?
Well, I've had my own speaking business for about 25 years.
Okay. All right. So yeah, to have somebody on the show with your level of experience for something that I'm just getting into is very exciting. So I'm looking forward to how things develop here.
Great.
And then, so you've been doing this for 25 years. Where did your professional career start out at? And was there always a connection between public speaking?
Yes. My mother told me I came out of the womb on a soapbox. Always interested in that. But I've always been an extrovert. I love being around people. And I've always been fascinated with languages, the different cultures. And of course, that started at a very early age for me. I had a fantastic childhood. I grew up in Italy.
Okay.
And it was my father's job that brought us there. He was a corporate bigwig and he got this incredible promotion. So I was almost 6 years old when we moved to Italy. And I just could not have had a better childhood. I had actually two families growing up. I had my American family. And my parents, I love them dearly, but they were not demonstrative people. They were not touchy-feely, huggy, didn't talk about emotions or feelings. And those were things that I craved. But like I said, I was fortunate enough, I had two families. My other family was my Italian family. And I don't know, have you been to Europe?
I never have.
Well, anyone who's been to Europe, when you're in a large city, most people live in high-rise apartment buildings. And that's where I met my Italian family. And she was one woman. We lived on a higher floor, but she lived on the third floor of our apartment building. And she was a contessa, a countess. She was also a retired opera singer, a very famous opera singer throughout Europe. I met her, she was approaching 70 at a gallop. She had been retired for a few years, but she took me under her wing. She never had children of her own. And I spent so much of my time with her in her apartment. Because after she retired, she also acquired the disease, I believe it's called agoraphobia, where you cannot leave your home, you can't go outside.
Agoraphobia, yes, that's it. Mm-hmm.
I keep meaning to look that up, and I think that's the correct term. But yeah. So she never left. Now, she was often out on her balcony, which is how we met, but she would not leave her home. But because she was a famous opera singer, she had just an entire menage of friends, and they were famous performers, you know, musicians, actors, singers, and they all came to her to visit her. Mm-hmm. So when I was growing up, I was just inundated with these stories from all over the world, from all different cultures, people from all different religions and backgrounds, and I was just totally enamored of it and wrapped up. And Italians, they're fabulous storytellers. And they're very gregarious. They're very emotional. But they're also incredibly proud of their heritage. Mm. Incredibly proud of what part of Italy they're from, what city, and they're just full of stories. So I was fascinated by this. And now in my speaking career, I've always been involved, my career-wise, with communications. But now for my keynoting, I have niched it. And I'm only speaking on my niche, which is business storytelling.
Okay.
It's an incredibly powerful tool in the business world.
For sure.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
It's like that saying that, facts tell, but stories sell.
Well, and there's a very clear reason for that. Yeah. Because story has to include emotion. If it doesn't, you don't have story. But business stories are such powerful communication tools for that reason. We make a buying decision based on emotion. And then after we buy, we're going to justify that purchase through logic.
Very true.
That is just one of the reasons storytelling is such an incredible tool in the business world. But how many times have you heard that? And you said it too. You buy on emotion.
Well, yeah. And to be perfectly honest with you, I had no clue about that until I went through a high ticket closer certification program last year. And it really just blew my mind and unlocked so many things and really just got me down the path of self-development and ultimately to where I'm going now, which is into public speaking and helping first-time entrepreneurs start their very first business. So yeah, I have heard that, but it wasn't until about a year ago. So it's, even though it may be common knowledge to you and to me now, I don't think it's that prevalent.
It is not. And in fact, unfortunately, most people do not know what a story is. And I say unfortunately, because over the last 5 to 7 years, storytelling have become buzzwords in the business world. So we hear those buzzwords constantly. But I'm amazed at what people are calling story. And I usually start with my keynote by sharing with everyone what story is not. Because so many people think they understand story, but they're actually very confused. Now, I understand why they think they know story, because it's so familiar to us. You know, when we were kids, most of our parents would put us to sleep by reading us a story. Mm-hmm. Well, people think they understand story until they try to write one. And then they start to realize how difficult it is. It's not an easy thing.
No.
And then get into that overwhelmed, oh my gosh, what do I do next? Whose voice do I need to tell this story? It's a learning curve. But I like to share in the business world what story is not. You know, story is not a list of bullet points. It's not your mission statement. It's not a report. It's not 2 or 3 blurbs of someone's bio, someone that's on your team. But people are calling all of these items story.
Hmm.
And even though it's a buzzword right now, you know, most people are totally confused. How many times have you either been in a conversation or you go to someone's website and here's what they say? This is my story. I started my business in 2007 with my best friend, Joe. Now we have over 270 employees in two locations. We have an office in Seattle and one in New York, but we have plans to grow. Right now, our sales are $6 million annually, but by the year 2025, we're going to have offices in Hong Kong, in Miami, and in Los Angeles. And our sales are going to be over $125 million.
Right.
That's not a story.
No, it's just it's a bullet point list in long form.
Well, actually, that's what we call a data dump. It's a data dump. And no one's going to remember all those facts and those figures.
Right.
But
right.
The thing is, the facts and the figures, that data, that's not the most important component.
No.
I work with a lot of CEOs and directors and vice presidents, power professionals, to find and craft and perfect their story. And very, very often, they're of the opinion that story is nothing but fluff. And they want to continue to share their data and their statistics and their facts. So I have to re-educate them. Because the data is not the most important thing.
That is true. And that kind of brings me to a mentality issue or question, rather. Do you find that that mentality is more prevalent in a CEO that's in the B2B space versus the B2C space?
It's always different. I can't categorize it like that, because I that's going to have to deal with not only the industry but the person themselves. You know, what kind of personality to have, what kind of person, introvert, extrovert. You know, there are too many factors, so I can't say across the board.
Okay.
Your data is not the most important thing, and here's the reason: data is understood in context. So you have to have context for your clients or your potential customers to understand. And that's where the story comes in. That's why the story is so important.
Right.
I love working one-on-one with CEOs or power professionals who don't know story, because it's such an eye-opening arena. And it's just, you know, it's my passion. So I really love it. I've been working with story long before it was a buzzword, and I'll still do that after it's no longer a buzzword.
Right.
So it's just, you know, I wake up every day and I love what I'm doing. So that's the sweet spot.
That is the absolute goal. And I can tell just from, you know, listening to you talk about it, that you have the heart of a teacher. And that brings you a lot of joy when that unlock or that mind-opening moment starts to happen. I completely feel that and understand that.
Well, it's the joy of sharing something exceedingly valuable.
Yes.
Valuable. And then I know that what I've done has helped them, because it's going to bring their skill set to a different level. And now they're going to start to work with their business stories. So it's very gratifying.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Most people are just so confused. When I'm giving a keynote, you know, I'm usually in front of hundreds, maybe thousands of people. And my keynotes are very information intense. So I throw out to the room, what is the definition of storytelling? And hundreds, you know, a lot of people raise their hand. So I'll call on someone and I'll say, please give me your definition of storytelling. And this is invariably what I hear. All right, story. Well, what's a story? Well, a story has a beginning, a middle, and an end. Yes, it does. That doesn't help us in understanding story in any way. Even a cockroach and Thanksgiving dinner has a beginning and a middle and an end. Now we're going to need more than that. That's that familiar place that people think they know story, but in actuality, you know, just because it's a buzzword, we hear it all the time, doesn't mean that we're getting good stories or even better stories. And so often people attempting to share a story completely fail. It's because they don't know what a story actually is. They don't really understand it.
Yeah. When you said beginning, middle, and end, I just had flashbacks to like high school English class. Yeah, that's the classic definition, all right, but that's not exactly what we're trying to get across here.
We're going to need more information than that, aren't we?
Yeah.
Here is my definition that I share in my keynotes, I share with my clients. And I'm, of course, specifically talking about business storytelling. But the definition that I share is storytelling is the intersection of your writing skills and your telling skills. Both skills are essential, but the magic happens when you become an expert at combining those.
Writing skills and telling skills. Yes, absolutely.
You're going to have to be strong in many, many areas. You'll need many skills to be a good storyteller.
Now, where do you find, again, I have to speak in generalities because I don't, you know, I'm not in your world, but where do you find the most, I guess you could say, weaknesses or holes in people's ability to tell stories tend to lie?
Well, what I find most people struggle with business storytelling right out of the gate. And they'll say, well, I don't have any stories. I need to tell a business story. I don't even have any stories. And of course, we all have stories. That's not true. But they either just cannot remember their story or it's too close to them. You know, it's their life. It happened to them and they just think of it as life, not as a story. So they struggle with actually finding a story. And of course, we're talking about a story that is story worthy. Many people start telling a story and it's not worth repeating. So that's another component, you know. You've got to come up with a story and tell it well enough to keep your listener with you from beginning to end, you know, especially if it's a business story. It's got to be story worthy. So yeah, people start off by saying, I don't even have any stories. Well, then I bring my clients through exercises. And to find their stories, there are many things I do, but I usually begin by saying, think about a transformation or a beginning in your life. For example, a big change, a transformation was when you left home and you went off to college. What about the very first time you broke up with a boyfriend or a girlfriend? Or think about the time you moved from Phoenix, Arizona to Philadelphia. A big beginning, a big change. So we all have stories, but people struggle with that. And the other thing that I find is to come up with their business story, they need to work on their writing skills. Got to have excellent writing skills. And most people aren't that great with their writing skills. And so often it's not the story, it's the way it's written. So it's a huge critical component. And a great delivery will never be able to make up for a poorly constructed or written story. So I encourage people, this is what you're going to need to work on. Here's an example. In your story, I could say I'm a woman, or I could say I'm a female, or I could say I'm a lady, or I could say I'm a middle-aged woman with raging hormones constantly seeking chocolate.
Well, the last one definitely grabs my attention more.
Which one do you think your listeners are going to exactly pay attention to?
Yeah.
Well, you're going to have to keep them with you for quite some time. And then I also encourage all of my clients, everyone who comes to my keynotes, work on your vocabulary. Mm. Because storytellers need vivid vocabularies. And that's another way you're going to keep your reader's attention. Here's an example of the vocabulary. I could say, I lost my self-confidence. Or I could say, my self-confidence showed up dusty and moth-eaten.
Yeah, it's a little bit more fun when you add those descriptive terms on the end, for sure.
Yeah. So those are where most people struggle, and they need to work on those skills.
Yeah, yeah, adding those adjectives and adverbs and all kinds of those, like I said, descriptive words into it that spark like your imagination, the visual section of your brain to help keep you fully engaged.
Well, you want to be using, with storytelling, you want to be using concise language and wonderful phrasing. So those are skills that most people need to work on.
Yeah.
Expertly written and skillfully told stories.
Well, I'm glad that you gave the example of how to start finding stories when, you know, your brain might immediately go to the thought of, oh, I don't have any. Well, this is how you can kind of start digging them out. And then are there any suggestions you might have for somebody that is looking to better their writing ability, you know, and finding those descriptive words? Like, is there any techniques or just sitting down with a piece of paper or at the computer and just trying to be more descriptive?
Well, writing and vocabulary are two different skills. For your writing skills, I would recommend, if you really find you're weak in that area, to take an online course. I mean, nobody's sitting in a university room these days.
Yeah, true.
But I also would recommend an online writing course, because then you're going to take it at your own pace. Mm. And you can develop that skill. And it's going to take time, like any other skill. You know, you're not going to improve overnight. Now, for vocabulary, one thing that I'm doing, I would suggest you could follow me on Instagram, which is just FayeFulton_speaker. And every Tuesday, I share a word with my definition of the word. So it's not a definition anyone would find in a dictionary. And then I share a tip on how to work with that as a storyteller. Because very often, while you're telling a story, you'll use the actual word. But another way you could go is, instead of using your word, you give your definition of the word. And so it's a great storytelling tip. So building vocabulary, that's really finding those words and then understanding what they mean, and you start to use those words.
Excellent.
It's really different from writing, but you're gonna need some great words. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's another excellent tip and way to go about it. And yeah, I absolutely agree. If somebody out there listening, you're wanting to work on your writing skills, you're wanting to up your game and be more descriptive, be more engaging, definitely follow Faye, because that word definition and her definition is an amazing resource. So, and it's free. So go follow her, give her some likes.
Yeah. I love being able to do that. And then people start thinking, you know, so.
Yeah. And then you kind of mentioned, you know, with the whole coronavirus thing, we've all got more time on our hands these days. And obviously, you know, with you being in the public speaking space, I imagine that the way that you get that out there has kind of changed, at least in the past month and a half. So how have you been adapting to this whole new situation that we're all in?
Well, I'm a professional NSA speaker. I have been for over two decades. And of course, what that means is I'm a part of the National Speakers Association. And there isn't a speaker out there who is speaking today. You know, all of our speaking engagements have either been indefinitely postponed or absolutely canceled.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a difficult time for my industry. I don't know an industry that's not suffering from this. So it's just that big question mark, what are we doing and how are we going to be able to proceed? So we will get out there and we'll speak again. You know, I keynote at association meetings, conferences, business events, and they're simply on hold. But I also, in addition to working as a keynote speaker, I work as a business storytelling consultant. So I do one-on-one work. Businesses bring me in to conduct workshops for their whole team. Well, no business is going to bring me in these days, but I can easily work one-on-one with my clients, you know, digitally.
Right.
What everyone else is doing.
Right. And
so that is a way that I'm going to be able to continue. Of course, that won't be true for every speaker, but that's the way I can continue right now.
Okay. Yeah, and I figured that would probably be the case as far as how you were conducting yourself now, obviously mostly remotely, either over the phone or on a, you know, on a Zoom, like how I'm recording this podcast. So that's good. That's good, though, that you're able to still, you know, get out there and have an income and still help and share what you know. And speaking of helping, if anybody is actually looking to get into being a public speaker, the NSA, not the National Security Association, which I thought I might have checked my phone real quick, but the National Speaker Association, do they have resources or classes or anything like that that would help somebody get started in that space?
Yes, they do, but it's not easy to become part of the National Speakers Association.
Okay.
And what I mean is, it's a big deal if you are, so I'm very proud that I've been for over 20 years now. But you have to, in order to be accepted into the association, you have to be able to prove that you make a certain amount of dollars as a speaker. So I think it's up to $100,000 a year as a speaker.
Oh.
Part of the National Speakers Association. Yeah.
Hey there, my friend. Just wanted to ask you a question real quick. Have you been thinking about starting a podcast or promote your business? I know, it's on your to-do list, but it takes so much time and you're too busy, right? Wrong. What if you could be guided on how to get on Spotify in a week or less just by spending an hour every day? You know a podcast is a great way to build relationships with your fans and grow your brand, but all those excuses are out the window. I created Podcast Pride just for you, the busy entrepreneur with a great business and lots to offer. Inside Podcast Pride, you'll see how you can have an attractive show thumbnail in minutes, an easy way to generate 50 plus show topics so you never run out of ideas, an organic social media method that works to promote your show. And there's more on the inside that you'll get access to. So stop saying someday and head over to dreambizcoaching.co/PP and let's get your show on the road.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So, well, congratulations on becoming part of that group. That is very awesome.
Yeah. So, you know, that's a credential that sets me apart. So that's good. That's good for me, but I wouldn't have it any other way. So.
Yeah. And, well, since that club is probably a little out of reach for somebody just getting started, what would you recommend somebody do that wants to become a public speaker or eventually become a consultant to people to help develop their story? What would you suggest they do to get started?
Well, I would suggest you hook up with the Toastmasters.
Toastmasters, yeah.
They have them in every city. They usually have a Toastmasters group that meets in the morning, in the afternoon, and after work hours. So if you need to practice your speaking, Toastmasters is an organization that will allow people getting started to do that. So that would be a way to go.
Okay. Yeah, I've heard of Toastmasters. I'm involved in a different speaking organization where I am. It's called the Speaking Group. In case anybody listening is in the Phoenix or, you know, the Arizona area, they might have a chapter near you, so you can look that up as well. But yeah, I'm aware of Toastmasters in the respect that they have, you know, speaking that you can go and you can practice. And I think they give assignments too for people to go work on like every week, and then you come back and everybody kind of helps each other kind of fine tune what they're doing and try to make it the best that they can.
Well, I'm not a person to speak on that. It's been over 4 decades since I went to a Toastmaster. So I'm not really sure what happens there. But I do know it is an excellent way for people to have an opportunity to speak in front of a group when they're new. But I, you know, I haven't been involved in working on my speaking skills for decades and decades. So that.
Right. Right.
That's about that. Yeah.
So you've been doing this work professionally for 25 years. And you've been in, now have you always been in your professional career involved in communications? How did your professional career start?
Yes, well, I started out in the corporate world as a trainer, and the corporate world was never a good fit for me. I don't know why, but every job I had in the corporate world had a horrible boss, just absolutely a terrible person. Mm. And then they didn't know how to lead. They didn't know how to manage. So it was never a good fit for me. And I decided that I wanted to pursue my career. And so I started my own speaking business. And things changed dramatically. So but that was something that I knew that I wanted to do. It just happened a lot sooner than I thought it would. But I was just not willing to go to work and be around such negative, horrible people. You know, it only takes one bad egg to spoil the entire environment. And it just was not for me.
Yeah.
On my own path. And like I said, I just really enjoy my work. And I love that I now have a niche for my speaking career. That also helps set me apart. And I also tell stories for entertainment purposes. I don't know if you listen to the Moth podcast. Are you familiar with the Moth?
I am not familiar with that one.
Well, I am a Moth storytelling champion. And in January, I won the Carl Sandburg Story Slam. So there are a lot of story slams across the country. And so those are not business stories. That's telling stories for entertainment purposes. And I only tell stories I write myself. You know, I've told stories at storytelling festivals. And it's a whole different arena than working a story in the business world. But I enjoy both.
Yeah.
One of the other things I do with storytelling, and I work with nonprofits. And the way I'm able to help them with my storytelling is nonprofits are constantly fundraising. And so I work with nonprofits and I'm their fundraiser. Come out for an evening of stories. You know, instead of a silent auction or a 5K run, they come out and they listen to stories. And, you know, I'm an author, I'm a writer. I only tell stories I write myself. And it's amazing whenever we get a group of people together and I tell stories, it always builds community. So it's a wonderful, fun evening. And most people are not familiar with my kind of storytelling or that there are even storytelling festivals in the country.
So I have no idea.
Yeah. So I don't do that much anymore. You know, my career is speaking, but there's that component. There's just so many ways to go with stories. I have storytelling friends and they get up in the front of the room and they'll tell an Aesop fable. And that's something I've never been interested in. I want the challenge. I want full circle. So it's my idea. I write the story. I get up and I tell the story. So that's the way that I want to be challenged.
And when you do that type of thing, is it a story that's based on your life experience, or is it completely just made up and you're pulling it down from the ether?
Well, I would never pull anything down from the ether, but I have been doing this for so long that I have quite a closet full of stories. So I have all different sorts of stories. Some of them are completely true. Some of them are just a little bit true, a little bit fiction, and some of them are all fiction. Depends on the situation, what kind of story.
Okay. Now, when you go into the your fundraisers for these nonprofits, How do you tie your story that you're telling into what they're doing, or do you do that at all if it's just strictly for entertainment and fundraising?
Sometimes, you know, again, it's so varied, though. I don't have an answer that'll fit across the board. Sometimes they want stories on a particular subject. And because I'm a writer, if I don't have a story that addresses that, I'll be able to give them a story. But usually the fundraisers are a fun evening. You know, I can have you laughing. I can bring you to tears with the stories that I tell. But in a fundraiser, you want everyone to be in an up mood. So I tell fun stories and I get everybody laughing. Because when people are having a good time, they open their wallets wider. The fundraising group, you know, we're here to raise funds. So if it's a fundraiser, it'll only be fun, uplifting stories where everyone's laughing.
Makes sense. Yeah, you don't want to be a downer.
Well, the stories that I write are always about the human experience. So I'm not going to be talking about unicorns.
That's crazy. I was thinking fairies and unicorns. So
that's not something I'm interested in, and that's those are not the kind of story that I tell. It's always about the human experience. And that means everybody in the room can identify with it. You know, they understand the struggle, they understand the character. Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with fairy tales. I'm just not that kind of storyteller. It's just not interesting to me. So I don't tell them. And I certainly wouldn't write that kind of story. Again, that's me personally. I'm just not interested in that. I am always interested in how people overcome their struggles. What is that person made of? And that's another reason stories are so valuable. You want to share your stories in your family. Because those family stories tell you what you're made of, what kind of grit you come from. And they're exceedingly important to understand where you belong. You know, you're part of something much bigger. So, you know, stories are just so important in so many ways. So many ways. Not just in the business world.
Yeah, that's very true. Very true. You have to know, or at least have some idea of who you are and where you want to go, or to be able to really understand, you know, your life and the lives of people around you. And so when you're constructing these types of stories that are around the human experience, and let's say that you're wanting to create an uplifting story for somebody in the nonprofit space who is like around an animal charity. What kind of things would you, I guess, what kind of subject matter would you kind of pull from?
Well, I'd have to sit down with the director of that nonprofit and start a discussion with them. You know, what do you really mean when you say animal stories? I mean, again, there are just too many variables, because I, you know, as a writer, I could go many, many different ways. Mm-hmm. In fact, one of the stories that I tell, and I won a story slam with this story, I was once almost eaten by a grizzly bear. It was the first time I went to Alaska. I wouldn't recommend telling those kind of animal stories at a
No, we're all about saving animals at this particular charity. So we don't want to have that kind of adversarial conflict.
No, I just can't get any more specific because it just is so varied. Exactly, do you want? So it's different every time. But that's one of the reasons that I love my career. It's different every time. And that continues to challenge me. And that's what I want. I always want to be challenged.
Yeah, I think that brings up a key point for anyone that's looking to get into the speaking space and storytelling space is, you know, if you want to really do this and you want to be truly successful at it, not only do you have to niche down, but you have to niche down in the respect of being very detailed as far as the client that you're trying to serve. You know, just like you keep saying, you can't really go into specifics because I'm speaking more in generalities. So take some clues from Faye here. If you want to be successful at this, get down into the details of that person or that organization that you're trying to serve. And that will just really bolster you, not only the product that you deliver, but your reputation. Would you say that I'm speaking correctly in that, Faye?
Definitely, Brian. And I would recommend that to any entrepreneur, no matter what your industry in. Today, you need to specialize. And that is one of the ways you set yourself apart. So you want a niche. And I've heard that from a lot of different sources. But if you're going to be an entrepreneur, I definitely recommend that. Yeah. And of course, it's taken me a while to find my niche. Again, it never happens overnight. Nothing seems to happen as fast as you want it to happen.
Truth.
But now I'm right where I want to be. So many things go into that, of course. But again, that's the sweet spot. So I would recommend for anyone work toward that sweet spot. Yeah, and for my business, it took me a while to come up with my tagline, but I'm very proud of my tagline. And again, it's about my niche. Mm-hmm. So my business, my tagline is move beyond content to connection.
And okay.
Story allows you to do.
I saw that on your, I believe it was on your website is where I saw that. And it's very simple, very powerful. And as soon as I read it, I was like, yes.
Oh, good. I'm so glad to hear that. You know, it took me a while to come up with it, but I'm very, very proud of that.
Isn't it crazy how the most simple things, sometimes they just take the longest to come up with?
You know, because it's like a misnomer. But me too. When you hear the word simple, you think easy. Is actually the opposite, isn't it?
Those simple complete opposite
are the hardest things because they're simple. Yeah.
I'm struggling right now to come up with the name for my coaching business. And I don't know when it's going to hit, but it just hasn't hit yet. But I know that it needs to be simple and it needs to be instantly relatable. At least somebody looks at it, they know, okay, that's what he does.
Right.
Yeah.
It'll come, you know. One of those things, it never happens when you want it to, but it'll come. So, yeah.
And
content to connection. But today, that's what business is about. Building those relationships, you really need to connect with your clients, your customers. And that's one of the things that story allows you to do.
Oh, and this brings up a good point and a good little transition here. I'm actually excited about this. Like, I don't know if you can tell, but with businesses today looking for more connection and needing that in order to really relate to their clients, it's an exciting time in my opinion, because we are now starting to transition to the area of voice technology with Google Home, Amazon Alexa, Siri. I think it's going to be an amazing time in the very near future for people that have speaking skills. What do you think?
I think we're already there. I mean, I'm on a lot of podcasts, not only speaking about my business, but I'm also on NPR podcast telling stories. People are listening to podcasts about every topic. There's Audible. So that's something that, of course, is in my wheelhouse, what I've been doing. But I'm so happy that now people can hear me explain stories, storytelling in business, and they can hear me actually tell stories. It depends on which podcast they go to.
That's very true. That's very true.
Back to my whole career, communication. You know, if you're a leader today, your job is to communicate effectively with your whole team, with your customers, your clients. And, you know, there's so many skills that go into that. Good communicators.
Yeah, absolutely. And just in thinking about that being so important, not for just like inner business communication, but communicating to communicating to a potential customer. Imagine like 10 years in the future now when we're all doing everything over voice and you know, you ask Alexa to, you know, find me such and such service. Well, if you don't develop your brand to get it out there name recognition wise, Alexa's just going to pick the one that has the most search results, the most hits. But if you build your brand and you build your communication skills and they say, I want, you know, Johnson's window cleaning service, now what have you done?
Right, exactly. So yeah. Huge, huge component of our everyday work lives. Yeah, those communication skills.
Yeah.
You know, like we were saying, most people are not using business stories. You know, they've heard about it, but they're not actually using them. But when they do use them, it sets them apart from their competition. I'm working with a client right now. She's creating an RFP. Well, that's a written document. But in her RFP, she wants to include business stories. And I can almost guarantee you, no one else that turns in an RFP for that project is going to include stories. It will set her apart. So she said, Faye, I need you. I don't know how to do this, but I know I want to include them. And the first thing I said is, you'll set yourself apart.
Now, I, not coming from the corporate world, I have no idea what an RFP is. Is that like submitting a bid for business?
Yeah, I'm so sorry. I should have explained that. Yeah, request for proposal.
Exactly. Okay.
Request for proposal. Yeah. So,
and that okay.
Many industries, across many industries.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure that it is. And that makes complete sense to me now, what you were saying about how that's going to really set her apart. That's awesome that she was so forward thinking in that respect. I'll bet she gets it.
I do too. And I will be so delighted when she does. Again, you know, that's what makes my heart sing. I know I have truly helped that person. You know, she will have developed a new skill.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah. So,
and not only, you know, not only will it help her, it will help anybody that's also employed by her, you know, or anybody that's employed by, you know, maybe suppliers that she has to bring in order to fulfill that proposal. It's amazing how much just that one little document might help, you know, dozens, maybe hundreds of people.
It's so true. So true.
I got chills. I got chills just now thinking about that.
Well, great. It sounds like you're getting excited about story like I am.
I love it. You know, in fact, to be honest, I'm thinking I'm going to start another podcast where it's just going to be me telling stories about other entrepreneurs or inventors or influential people, but I'm not going to disclose their name. And I haven't decided, and I'll get your opinion on this. I haven't decided if I'm going to disclose their name at the very end of the podcast or if I'm just going to let people guess in the comments and then maybe reply in a day or so if they're right. What do you think I should do? Which would be more fun?
I don't know. I would ask the people that you're working with how they feel about that. And I bet you're going to get quite a few answers. So it'd be like taking a poll and then
it would
your decision. Yeah.
Yeah.
And some people might not want to reveal their identity. I don't know. But that could happen. That could happen.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking more, I mean, some of these people would still be alive, obviously, but others would be, you know, people from history that have long since passed on. So they, you know, sorry, you don't get a say if I tell your name or not.
That's a whole different subject. Yeah.
Right.
It's been a while since they were walking the earth. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I am definitely excited about story, and the more that I learn about it, the more value I know that it has and the more connection I know it can create. And especially now in this time that we're all in, we all need connection more than ever.
Once the whole coronavirus is over, we're just craving it already.
Yes.
We're really going to need connection. That's something that I'm certainly missing.
Yeah.
That social connection. So, yeah, but we're social creatures. That's a definite.
Yes. Yes, we are. So speaking of connection, anybody that is potentially looking for a way to bolster themselves or bolster their business through story, how would they connect with you?
Well, they can certainly find me on LinkedIn. They can go to my website, which is Faye, F-A-Y-E, Fulton, like Robert Fulton in the Steamboat. So it's fayefulton.com. And as we mentioned before, follow me on Instagram. And on Instagram, it's fayefulton_speaker.
Okay. Excellent. So yes, anybody that is looking to up your game and include story either in your personal or professional life, you know, follow Faye. If you're looking to integrate it into your business, go to her website, hit her up on LinkedIn. And she's obviously very gifted, very successful. And I have no doubt that you'll be very happy with what she does, as I am very happy to have you on the podcast today.
Well, thank you so much, Brian. I really enjoyed it.
I did as well. I appreciate all of your time. And again, hit Faye up, Instagram, LinkedIn, on our website. And Faye, my dear, you have a wonderful day. Stay safe out there. And I look forward to seeing much more from you.
Great. Thanks again, Brian. Take care.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.